Sorry? Let's try to look really. Members of the press corps, and we have MTV here. No stranger, of course, to the PUC. They've been with us every quarter, trying to get some information from us, trying to be updated on particularly our complaints and all of that. So welcome to everyone. New sources here, and again, Gunther is here. I don't know what you told to the rest of the media houses, because we did send out an invite to the rest. But nonetheless, thank you again for coming, and thank you for being on time. Just generally and quickly, for those of you who are not aware, the PUC has been around for a little while now. We've been around since 1990, and with a charge for regulating a number of sectors in the current entities under our purview are GPL, GT&T and Digicel, and GWI. We are a statutory body, which means that our role and our functions is defined by the Public Utilities Commission Act of 1999, and therefore it means that we have to operate within the parameters of the law generally. From time to time, as you know, all of the operators under our purview, public utilities for critical services obviously, they are licensed. And so just to notice a little caveat that once there's anything in a license that conflicts with the PUC Act, that license takes precedence. And so we operate within the parameters of what is issued to the operators, and of course, what the law says and how it defines our role. We are regulator, and our functions are advisory, investigative, and enforcement functions by law. There are several divisions in the PUC: accounts, finance, complaints. We have an office, incidentally, in the Burbese, Fort Mourant area, which is a complaints division. And we have a secretariat, which is the nucleus for all the activities headquartered here in the Georgetown office. Generally, just to say this, we have to ensure there's a long-term provision of services by the utilities under purview. I mentioned critical services, obviously electricity and water being one, and of course of late, relatively of late, one would say telecommunications, the importance of communicating. And so we have to ensure when we're regulating, we must ensure there's an efficient long-term provision of those services. Hence, when you may have a rate review, sometimes people balk at, oh, you're raising rates or all that. We must ensure that the utilities can function, they can operate with the rates they're given, and that will ensure there's some sort of long-term provision of service. You have to ensure also there's a fair environment, a fair playing field, a playing field where you have both the consumer's interests and the utilities or the operator's interests are taken into account. And of course, one of our key functions here, which often sometimes is swept under the carpet, is the resolution of complaints. From a consumer perspective, you know, a consumer of services, you will have complaints from time to time, and we have to ensure that we have a good and brisk running of our complaints division. And more importantly, as an independent body, we must ensure we function in a fair and transparent manner. Our core mandate, I hate to sound repetitive, is really to ensure that utilities offer an efficient service at a reasonable cost, and at all times both the consumers and the utilities' interests are taken into consideration. Currently on this small panel here, we have to my left our engineer, who is one of the engineers in our technical technical department in the commission. At our extreme right is Mr. Mosleen Sankar. I'm sorry, Mr. Nikita Samwaru. Mr. Mursaleen Sankar is the head of our finance division. He's been with us for a considerable number of years. And to his left is Ms. Destra Bourne, who is our complaints manager. I am Vidya Harpasar, the secretary to the commission. I wouldn't want to leave out the lady to my right. I don't know why I'm seated next to her, but her name is Dila Britton. She would have been appointed on the 21st of June of this year, and she is no stranger to the regulatory offerings of the Commission or the regulatory role of the Commission. She has been with us as a commissioner prior to this transition to chairman of the PUC, chairman being a gender-neutral word, incidentally, and the appointment by law. And she is our full-time chairman. We have, of course, two part-time commissioners at the PUC. Ms. Britton, I just want to best mention quickly, is not coming here with nothing in our hands. The previous chairman, you know, was retired Justice Prem Prasad, with a heavy legal background, a former Court of Appeal judge. Ms. Britton has a considerable number of years in the legal arena and practice not just in Guyana, but also out of Guyana. I want to hand you over to Ms. Dina Britton for her to continue this press briefing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kusala, and thanks for your kind words. Good morning and welcome. We were expecting some more of your colleagues, but they're not here. I hope they come in time. The reason behind this little gathering of ours is that you, as the fourth estate, members of the fourth estate, you play a vital and important role in disseminating the information to the other consumers, and you too are consumers. And so in time, we will give you an opportunity to ask questions, but we just wanted to, like the secretary said, give you an overview of the work that we do. And to echo his sentiments, we can't stress enough, and this would be the third time we're hearing it, to echo his sentiments that our thrust is basically to provide affordable service to consumers and to ensure that there is a seamless and excellent quality of service offered to all consumers. We, again, like the secretary said, we perform in everything we do, we perform a balancing act, balancing the interests of the consumer against that of the investor. And as I might have alluded, as the secretary might have alluded to, we are investigatory, we play an investigatory and an advisory role. We are an independent statutory body, and that means, therefore, that we are not subject to influence or interference from anyone outside of these four walls, save and except that we are, in the near future, with the coming of new legislation, telecoms legislation, we'll have a greater collaborative role with the Ministry of Public Telecommunications. I want to let you know what we have been doing since June of this year. In the last few weeks, we have had the opportunity, myself and several members of our team, there are 17 members. I'm just sitting here with four of the dynamic, hardworking professionals. And so we've all had an opportunity to meet with the various stakeholders, GWI, GTT, Digicel, GPL, and with the head of the Ghana Consumers Association. And we met with them not only for a familiarization process, but also to see whether we could collaborate to alleviate bottlenecks that are existent between our organization and their organizations with respect to how we communicate with each other, with respect to how they communicate with us, and with respect to how quickly we're hoping to devise a method as to efficient and effective termination of all complaints, termination hopefully in a successful manner and in a satisfactory manner to the consumer. Of course, because again, we play that balancing act, sometimes that is not possible. We want to inform you as to our various activities, and in short order, we are developing different content for our website, and our website could be found at www.puc.org.gy. Reading further, there is material, and I believe that you're all in possession of this material for public relations purposes. And I want to emphasize that the brochures and the compilation of most of this material was done by our work study students, and we intend to incorporate their ideas because, of course, you know, the adage, the youth are our future. They see things in a different way. With the coming of the new legislation, there will be ICT, information communication technology development, and of course, you know that young people are very savvy as to what is trending and what is current with the technology. We want, and this is why you're here, to have an enhanced interface with the media. Our work program for this year through 2018 includes, of course, our mandatory statutory meetings of the commission, consumer outreach programs, which include sensitization and consultations, and some of those might include discourses on the role of the PUC, the effects on liberalization on the consumer. We want to undertake research projects, which will include but are not limited to investigating and reporting on trends in the various utility sectors. We have, as one of our items, our core items, is the capacity building for the staff of the PUC, the internal staff. And we want to, as part of our dissemination and outreach, to develop and to administer and to disseminate articles in the print media. We have recently revised our complaint forms, which are accessible through our website, the address I just gave you. And we, in the near future, it is hoped that these complaint forms will be placed at prominent locations, perhaps Giftland Mall, perhaps the post office. We will have it here, and we will have it at our Burpees offices, perhaps after hours, with the help of the staff of the PUC, we can make sure that we are accessible 24 hours outside of the website by leaving some with our guard hut or an information booth of some sort. As you probably know or don't know, we have an office, as Mr. Passad alluded to earlier. We have an office in Burpees, that is in Port Moran. The address for that office could be found in your brochures, and we are hoping, and this is not a fanciful hope, but we are hoping to establish an office in Essequibo, because we want to make sure that all the counties are covered and that we are reachable and that the consumers' voices are heard. With that said, I will now open the floor to any questions for any of us on the panel, and then I will ask and invite you to stay with us for a bit of light fare. So thank you very much for coming again, and the floor is open.
I'll go first. Good morning, Kurt Campbell from News Source.
Good morning, sir.
If you could just give us the extent to which members of the public utilize the option of placing complaints here at the PUC, but if you could give us some figures in your answers.
Thank you very much. I would pass that over to the very able complaints manager, but we can tell you that the foot traffic and via the telephone, there's a great demand for our services. With respect to the exact figures, I have the figures within my knowledge, but I believe that the better person to speak to that would be the complaints manager, Ms. Desha Bowen. So I'll hand you over to Ms. Bowen with respect to that.
Thank you. Okay. For this year, we have received 505 complaints for technical is user is used where consumers with call PUC to say we have reported to GTNT that my phone isn't working and no one will visit it today to rectify that issue. Usually before persons make a complaint at the PUC, they have to report this issue with GTNT. Once they report the issue with GTT, they come to the PUC with their reference number. The reference number tells us that they would have given that utility the first chance to deal with their matter. Once they come to the PUC takes their complaint, the PUC will then send a letter along with the complaint that was received to the utility for their response with the matter. What we've noted has happened, or is happening, is that when persons report their issue here to the PUC, their matters are being resolved within a very short period.
On the topic of resolution, could you say of the 505 complaints that you received so far for the year, how many remain unresolved?
All right. Of 505 complaints received, there are 303 matters pending.
Twice.
All right. There, for each complaint that we receive, we have to give a utility a time frame. So we will have most of these matters stemming from April to July. Most of the matters that was received during the first quarter of the year has been resolved.
If I may add to the question, my apologies, go ahead, Desra.
Also, out of these 303 matters, there's numerous matters that consumers would have advised the PUC that their issue have been resolved between the utility and the consumer end, but the utility is still to send that response to the PUC. So, we, at least over 150 of these 303 matters have been resolved on the consumer end.
Let me just answer that one. Another aspect that sometimes complainants may not recognize. You may have a complaint before us. It's not a very straightforward or simple complaint. It may be a complaint, let's say, with respect to a meter that is not working properly, or perhaps a meter that has been tampered. There's a stipulated time frame that we are guided by in the complaints division in terms of how we will ensure that matter is followed up, at what point we are following up those matters, and at what point we have an expectation that a consumer's complaint should be resolved. Of course, in matters where grave urgency, let's say there's a leaning pole against your home and there may be a possibility of fire and all that, we have to ensure that that matter is treated with expediency. Outside of that, however, and in fairness to the utility and to the consumers, there are some matters that will require a second investigation or a third investigation. When a matter comes back to us, it's not just we take what is written in a carte blanche manner. What we do is we have to send it perhaps to the technical division, which will then, look back at the matter. We may have to do another investigation. And at the end of the day, we would want to ensure that there's fairness in whatever resolution process is there.
To further add to what both Ms. Warren and Ms. Prasad said, when we met with the stakeholders, the utilities, they've given us all assurances with respect to the matters that are still pending and in the future, that we will try to resolve that in a speedy manner, so the next time you meet with us, hopefully we don't have such large and daunting numbers to report on.
For the complaints that you receive, which areas, say for example, within Georgetown, mainly Georgetown, within Burbees, within Linden, which part have that?
Is it a specific group of complaints or a general complaint?
Just
so the short answer to that is yes, that there are penalties that can attach, but of course we have to do our due diligence. We have to give the utilities an opportunity to remedy any breach, and if they fail and continue to fail, and as that is the general thrust of our function, is to regulate the utility. If they so fail to remedy the breach within a reasonable time, and a reasonable time is set taking in the circumstances the Secretary would have just spoken of with respect to the investigation that would have to happen and have to be conducted. And so we would then meet as a commission, and not as the administrative or technical staff. We would then take that complaint, or those particular complaints, to the commission level, and then we determine whether that is a complaint that has merit that should A, warrant a hearing, or B, warrant a sanction. And we have a ceiling to which we can go with respect to penalties that we can attach to a defaulting utility.
Just give us an idea of what are some of those options on the side of sanctions. What are some of those options available?
Well, the most stringent option is to ask that the utility be closed up. But of course, that's an extreme case. And so I believe that the commission over the years would have preferred a monetary sanction against the utility, and to also, if an opportunity is given, as you would have probably seen in our Order 2 of 2017 against GT&T, we would have taken the opportunity, and because that's a public document, it's also available on our website, to remonstrate, for that want of a better word, to remonstrate with GT&T as to them not fulfilling their mandate on the license and the agreement that was signed with the government of Ghana to provide universal service of their facilities. And so that so we have not, as far as I am informed, we have not used the extreme penalty of closure. That would require quite a bit of due diligence. It might require hearings. It might require, and there is a possibility, very foreseeable, that the utility, if faced with that, would want to knock on the door of the Court of Appeal to have them pronounce that our judgment against them, or the penalty attached, was wrong. And so that is a process. So we do not do that lightly, Mr. Chabot.
Yes. I wanted to ask in relation to GPL and GWI, what were some of the companies received? And have you had any requests for compensation with respect to GPL?
I'll ask the complaints manager to chance.
How has the power company been responding to these
the responses that we have been receiving from the utility.
If I could just answer directly, GPL has a customer service standard that sets out basically a time frame within which a consumer's issue has to be remedied. Failure, which will result in a monetary compensation to the consumer, and they have to report to the commission annually on this, quarterly to begin with. And this has been in existence for a number of years. So you do have a specific standard, similar to quality of service standards really, that really tests the system at GPL's level and for at our level to ensure that we can have that sort of oversight, we can ensure that there's some amount of enforcement in terms of if there are any issues that may arise with, let's say, something that has to do with compensation is a little bit of a gray area. So the commission is here, and so to answer your question directly, yes, there is those sort of compensations that will form and be a part of a rebate or a credit that goes to the consumer's account.
One extreme case I'm trying to deal with in a hypothetical way is if there is damage to an appliance or a fire caused by GPL. You had those kinds of complaints, and have settlements been the outcome?
Yes, we have. But of course, again, Mr. Chabal, I don't know if you were here when the secretary gave his opening remarks. There's a procedure with respect to that. So it's not a quick fix. We have to do an investigation. Of course, there's a complaint. Then we have to do an investigation. Then our engineers would get involved. They would have to give us a report. We'd have to actually see the actual equipment. We have to know about the equipment, perhaps. I don't want to usurp Mr. Samwaru's function, but perhaps to see the age of the equipment and all those sorts of things those are things that have to be taken into consideration before we can say to GPL, we would like our compensation. But in my short time and in reading the responses from GPL especially, they have been they've been forthright with their credits and rebates. I don't know if Nikita wants to add to the process with respect to damaged equipment.
Okay, when a complaint normally comes to the utility regarding compensation, the consumer is not satisfied with the results that they got with the utility, so they forward a complaint to us. Now, when those complaints come to the commission, and it's been handed over to the technical division, which is the engineering division, we would normally go through the complaint. For example, let me give you a simple example. Let's say this premises here, a UPS was damaged. Now, we would write GPL and ask them to send us something called a system log of their line. GPL line has something called system logs. If there was any high voltage, if there was any trip to cause such a damage. Now, or further to that, if there was any other consumer nearby, in the neighborhood who has experienced such a damage. Now, based on those logs, we could make a decision, okay, well, GPL did not have a fault, or they had a fault, stuff like that. If it was a high voltage, or a spike in voltage that could actually cause a damage to the utility. Should we find that, in this case, it's the utility fault, yes, there should be compensation for the repair or the replacement of this consumer appliance.
How do you really know that?
The consumer?
No, the power company.
Well, I don't think the utility would want to lie to the commission.
But what?
Because I could experience this here.
How can you prove that you're not lying?
No, the information that they sent us should be truthful.
Should be truthful. But you have to verify it that according to the particular point in time that this did occur.
No, they would send us a log for the particular period, as a 3-day period. If there was any loss, if there was any outage.
Well, you know, if I could just add, on, it's not just simply that. It's a lot of information that's required. I mean, of course, they have their own mechanism in terms of going to their claims committee in terms of compensation and all that. In very much, in some instances, we may ask an independent engineer, or we ourselves may do our independent assessment, looking at the damages, looking at the main switch, asking for the logs to indicate what was the power voltage supply perhaps around that period. So it's The question to answer that fairly is that I think we try to be as far as possible fair in all of the circumstances. And we have not really found GPL, to be honest with you, wanting in that area. I would just want to go back quickly on the issue of compensation. A few years ago, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago, there was actually a death, if you may recall, it was carried in the media, of a particular child who was playing or having a bath or something over the West End area. The commission conducted a full hearing on this matter, and the commission awarded compensation against GPL, payable to the parents of the child. So just to note that as part of our how we actually operate.
And can I ask, with respect to the poor quality of internet service, what role the commission is playing in dealing with that, and both mobile as well as land internet, and also there's the issue of text messaging between the two networks not working at this point in time?
The general answer, Mr. Shabal, is that we don't yet regulate data, and because we don't regulate data, there are a number of things that don't come within our purview. With respect to the quality of service, as we know that as much as I'm not a technical person, the internet, there's a need for the instrument to get the DSL service, save and accept those homes that are now benefiting from fiber. And so the phone service forms the nucleus of the traffic. And so we still try to work with GTT to ensure that service is of a high quality, so the traffic could be, the traffic and speed as from our end and our mandate is done in a proper way. With respect to the text messages, as you know that there are some, as you probably know, that there are some from time to time, both GTT and Digicel will have promotional deals, and all of those are vetted by the commission before they are launched. You know, talk for 2 minutes and get talk for 2 minutes and get 2 minutes extra. Those things are all vetted by us. You would ask with respect to text messages, and the same goes for text messages.
No, but I'm talking about the fact that text messages from Digicel are not going to GTT phones for several weeks now. Are you aware of this?
We are aware of this.
And what has been done?
As far as I know, that has not come before us yet. But we will deal with that in a manner that is necessary, and putting on our three hats of regulatory, investigatory, and advisory on that issue.
So how long have you been aware of this?
We have not been aware of it officially, but we would know of it as consumers ourselves.
So what do you need now to move forward?
We would need a complaint.
So in the absence of a complaint, you can do nothing, even though you yourself might be experiencing it?
Well, I would have to make a complaint to the telephone company, because I am, as much as we sit at PUC, I'm still a consumer.
If I could just add to what you're asking, the commission generally regulates quality of service offerings by the utilities under purview. Where there are issues that are required to be resolved, of course we take it up with the utilities. You would have noticed in passing that you would have had a number of blackouts by GPL, power outages. We have of course brought that to the attention of the utility, and we expect to have, albeit what may be stated in the press, we expect to have a report on it. With respect to the issue of the SMS, I am aware that GT&T had indicated that they were working to have that matter resolved.
That is outside of this office, and outside of it coming to our doorstep.
So it's unlikely to come before the full commission in the absence of a complaint?
It's unlikely. That is how all things are initiated here. So it's either the utility or the consumer, as the consumer as an individual, who can initiate that here. And we're hoping, and as we said, we continue to monitor these things. And so if the problem persists, we will communicate with GT&T, and if necessary, we will put out an advisory or whatever on our own through our website or in the print media.
And what does it require for the PUC to play a great role with respect to data services, given the fact that it is perhaps equally or more important than regular telephone service?
Well,
what do you require?
Well, you know, we only act within the four corners of the legislation, and that legislation was passed, I believe, in 1990. Tomorrow the technology is going to change. So the technology has changed tenfold since 1990. There have been a few administrative amendments, but we are now, and you know, this is a song that I've been singing, that we cannot do anything, our hands are tied until we are empowered by law to regulate data, and that will only come once the Telecoms Act and its various pieces of regulations are put in force.
So the Telecoms Act and the regulations will provide for...
It gives Mr. Chabal a wide berth to regulate post-liberalization. Right now we are still regulating as per 1990.
If I may also add, when complaints come before us touching on quality of service, on rates, on billings, or whatever it is, we will bring that to the attention of the respective utility, and we will request that it be addressed. In the context of what you are asking in terms of, let's say, internet service and internet speeds, we do have not a large number by any stretch of the imagination, but a small number of complainants. I know we have about two or three complaints before us on that particular aspect in terms, touching, as I said, on quality of service offerings.
I believe in addition to the statistics that Ms. Bourne has, in her possession, I believe that she has some interesting, going back to the issue of compensation, I believe that she has some interesting statistics as to the credits customers would have received by virtue of our advocating on behalf of those customers. So I'll pass that on.
Consumers would have received after filing their complaints with the PUC amounts to over 31 million for the year 2017. Against GTT, consumers continue to pay their rent or continue to pay for a service even though they are out of service. Once this would have reported that and the service has been restored, that money would be given back to the consumer in the form of rebates. And for a GWI, most of it has to do with in this use.
Do we have any further questions?
Sorry, I'm trying to say, with the new Telecoms Act, would you be able to say the commission to be regulating 5G utility companies?
Yeah, define what you consider to be private
cable.
Cable. I believe yes and no. The answer is yes and no, but the first step with respect to that is whether those people will be granted a license by the agency that will be established for, we will have hand in hand with the public telecoms agency, we will have regulatory function. They will also have some regulatory function. We remain separate and independent. I wish to stress that. But if, let's say, eNetworks is given a license, that will come within our mandate after they would have been granted a license. Of course, they have to fulfill certain preconditions that and satisfy the agency before they can be given that license. And then any disputes or any regulatory issues will come before us with respect to the cable.
I guess there may be no further questions. Let me just say thank you to all of you for coming here and for attending this miniature press briefing. Particularly, again, thanks to a number of you who have been here previously. We meet, of course, at the public hearings, so it's good to have a one-on-one, more or less, with the media corps. We have the brochures, of course. We have information in it that may be helpful. I did think we might be a little bit, might have been a little premature, but we did do a short briefing for you in the event you needed any sort of assistance, not that I think you will, but in terms of carrying our coverage today. Before you leave, of course, we invite you to share with us